From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In a moment, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he continues a message from the life of Christ entitled Lessons for Christian Living. From the incident of Christ being asked about paying the temple tax in Matthew chapter 17, we'll see how the Lord Jesus revealed himself as the Son of God with all power and knowledge. Yet it also shows him as the humble servant, for he paid what he did not owe to purchase what we could never pay. That message will be upcoming, but first, in today's hot topic, Dr. Cairns gives some insight into the thinking of the former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani.
I start today with a word of warning. I don't do party politics or state party political preferences in this program. But I will hold every political party and every politician to the standard of God's Word. With that in mind, we will step into the strange world of presidential debates as a few humble men present themselves as God's answer to the needs of America. Do you believe every word of this book? That was a plain question for the Republican candidates who are running for president. The book was the Bible. The answers were predictable, but still enlightening. Former New York Mayor Rudy Giuliani, a Roman Catholic, did what politicians do best. He tried to speak out of both sides of his mouth. Here's what he said. The reality is, I believe it, but I don't believe it necessarily, literally, true. In every single respect, I think there are parts of the Bible that are interpretive. I think there are parts of the Bible that are allegorical. I think there are parts of the Bible that are meant to be interpreted in a modern context. I don't believe every single thing in the literal sense of Jonah being in the belly of a whale. Now, there you have a whale of a story. The reality is, said Giuliani, I believe it, but I don't believe it necessarily literally true. Come on, Rudy, do you believe it or don't you? Perhaps the question should have been clearer. Do you believe that what the Bible presents as fact is fact? That what it presents as history is history? And that what it presents as truth in the moral and spiritual realm is truth? And how far will you be guided in your private and public life by the truth of this book? That would have been a better question. I think even Rudy Giuliani would have been hard-pressed to do his political wriggle and talk his way around giving a straight answer to that one. Ex-Baptist preacher Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor, answered the question, It's the word of revelation to us from God himself. The fact is, when people ask you if you believe all of it, you either believe it or you don't believe it. As the only person here, probably in this stage, with a theology degree, there are parts of it I don't fully comprehend and understand, but I'm not supposed to, because the Bible is the revelation of an infinite God, and no finite person is ever going to fully understand it. If they do, their God is too small. So said Mike Huckabee. Former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, a Mormon, drew applause when he said, The Bible is the Word of God. Absolutely. The moderator asked, Does that mean you believe every word? Romney answered, Yeah, I believe it's the Word of God. I might interpret the Word, differently than you interpret the word. But I read the Bible and I believe the Bible is the word of God. I don't disagree with the Bible. I try and live by it. End quote. As a Mormon, Romney can't believe the Bible in anything like its plain sense, which makes it all the more ironic that his reply was stated so as to sound so evangelical. It seems that even when dealing with Scripture, what politicians believe and what they say about what they believe depends on those whose votes they're trying to win.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We've been greatly encouraged by the response to these broadcasts. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. From time to time, we're able to offer various of our publications to those who request them. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak Quarterly Magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the life of the Apostle Peter. The articles will be both informative and inspirational. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy these programs, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Starting in Matthew 17, verse 22 through to verse 24, there's something you need to, and I've emphasized this so many times, you'll wonder why I do it again, and it's because we're all a little slow in the uptake, including the preacher. And we need to have it emphasized. I don't emphasize it any more than the Bible does. And that is, right at the very beginning, before you get into all the lessons or the principles of Christian living. Here's the first thing. We need to get a sight of Christ in His perfections to equip us for all the crises of life. In this little passage, 17:22-24, we have, not long after the events on the Mount of Transfiguration, Christ down among His disciples. They're now around Capernaum, probably at the home of Peter, who lived there and whose home was often used as a base by the Lord Jesus. We have a tax man coming to Peter, probably because he was first the householder, and second because they were probably afraid to come directly to the Lord Jesus. They asked, does your master pay tax? Now, the tax in question here was, I think, the temple tax. It was not a Roman tax. That's a question would come up later about what you pay to Caesar. But every Jew, this started in the days of Moses, it was resurrected in the days after the exile for the support of the temple. Every Jew, every man over the age of 20, rich or poor, had to pay the same tax, half a shekel. Half a shekel for the upkeep of the house of God. This was the law. And so they came to Peter and they said, does your master pay tribute? Does he pay the temple tax? And immediately Peter, apparently wishing to defend the honor of Christ, said, yes, he does. This tax, this is an important chronological pointer in the life of Christ. This tax was raised around the time of the Passover. You could pay it at Jerusalem at the time of the Passover, or usually a week or two beforehand, the tax men would be going around, and if you weren't getting to Jerusalem to pay it there, pay it now. We know, therefore, this was around Passover time. So this is about 1 year before the end of the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does he pay? Yes, he does. But then the Lord Jesus took Peter in and he says, Peter, what do you think? Do earthly kings levy the tax for the upkeep of their house and their business? Do they levy that tax of their own sons? And that's the word that's translated children. Do they levy the tax of their own sons, or do they levy the tax of strangers? And Peter immediately said, well, they levy it of strangers. The logic that the Lord Jesus brought to bear is very telling. He says, then are the sons free, exempt. Now I want you to get the force of what he's saying here. Remember, they had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter had heard the voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son. Jesus is saying, Peter, they're asking for the legal tribute to the house of God. Of whom does the King of Kings exact a tribute? Is it of his son or of the strangers? His son is free. That was the message. And what a message indeed. What a vision Peter got of Christ. He was facing a challenge in his own life. The challenge was growing every day he lived. This was for Peter and the rest of them one of the most critical times in all their lives, even if they hadn't fully grasped it. And the Lord is saying, Peter, I want you to see who you're dealing with here before you get out to deal with the tax man or the problems or the troubles of life. Get this straight in your mind. Who I am the Son of God. And I am, and this is the great claim of Christ. I am above this law. I am the one to whom the tribute should be paid, not from whom the tribute should be exacted. That's what he's saying. What a revelation. The Son of God. Men and women, let me tell you, as I've said 1,000 times from this pulpit, before you get out to meet any other problem, and before you bring to bear upon that problem any other spiritual truth, get your eyes first and foremost firmly planted on the person of your Savior. No other truth, and I want you to understand this, no other truth in all the Bible has any liberating power if it is divorced from faith in Jesus Christ. Now that's a big statement. But I want to emphasize it. And I'm emphasizing it against the background that in our Bible-believing churches, we have got people fixated on this principle and that doctrine and that verse. Let me tell you, you can learn every verse in the Bible, and it may as well be from the Quran, as long as it is divorced from faith in Jesus Christ. Get your eyes on Him. He is the Son of God. Notice how He displays His perfections to Peter here. He is the all-knowing one. Do you notice this? That He first of all introduces this passage by again telling what's going to happen in Jerusalem. He knows it in advance. Do you notice that He could tell Peter what his conversation with the man, the tribute collector, was? He could tell them what it was without ever having to ask or be informed. Do you notice He could tell them where to go, what fish to find, what He would find there? He's the all-knowing one. What a wonderful thing to realize when you're stepping out to the perplexities of life. The Lord Jesus doesn't need to wait to be informed of it. He doesn't need to learn about it. He knows it all. There's nothing that I'm going to face this day, this week, or this lifetime, but that has been in the vision of Christ all along. He knoweth the path that I take. Not only the all-knowing one, but the all-powerful one. You see, the power seems a little thing, and actually scholars debate over this particular miracle. There's a kind of so-called scholar that finds all the miraculous in the New Testament offensive to their intellect, and this is one miracle that they find more offense in than most of them. They look upon this as almost magic. It's just a gratuitous claim of power. But no, it's not. This is the Lord Jesus showing, I have power in heaven and on earth. I can put a coin in the mouth of a fish, just as I can scatter stars across the heavens and hold them there by the word of my power. We serve an omnipotent Christ. But then there is the perfection of His grace and His goodness. You see His humility? That's there. But let me tell you what strikes me most of all. And to me, this is the thing you've always got to take with you when you're going out into life. He says, I am the Son. I'm exempt. You pay tax or tribute to me. You don't take it from me. I am the Son of God. That's His claim here. And yet, what does He do? He pays the tribute with the coin of His own creation. He made Himself subject to God's law. He owed it nothing, but He paid it everything. In the words of the 69th Psalm, He restored what He took not away. He paid what He didn't owe. And then He paid for Peter's as well. That's the gospel, you know. That's the very heart of the gospel. The Son of God owing nothing to the law, makes himself subject to the law. He makes a payment of a debt he did not owe. And he does it for people who couldn't pay their own. That is the very nub of the gospel message.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.